Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Gridlock Sam Schwartz, back with us now for the second installment of our weekly April series on traffic harmony in New York City. You may know Sam Schwartz as Gridlock Sam in the Daily News. He's also the former New York City traffic commissioner, and now he's a man with a plan. He wants to balance the competing demands of mass transit riders, commercial carriers, cars, pedestrians, and bikes, and get everyone moving in ways that maximizes the benefits and rationalizes the costs for one and all. Good luck. We've linked to his PowerPoint presentation on our website, so you can go to Brian Lehr Show on WNYC.org to check it out. And thanks for coming in, Sam. Thanks again for doing this whole month-long series with us.
Great to see you again, Brian.
So one of our listeners pointed out on our comments page on Tuesday that European cities with lots of bike riders don't have the same animosity between the four-wheeled, two-wheeled and two-legged creatures that New York has. Peter from Manhattan listed a few things that are done differently on the continent. Driving lessons emphasize sharing the road. Almost everybody uses all available modes of transportation. That is, a lot more people ride bikes and drive cars. Bike lanes that are physically separate from car lanes are more common, and traffic lights are timed to untangle cars, bikes, and pedestrians. Are all these true to your knowledge in terms of them being much more prevalent in Europe, and are they the keys?
Yeah, they're absolutely much more prevalent. There is a lot of education, but you also find much greater compliance with not just the bike riders but the pedestrians. I was in Munich about a year ago, and I was wandering on the sidewalk, and I didn't notice that there was a black painted part of that sidewalk, and bike rider after bike rider yelled at me something in German that I don't know, and I got off because I wasn't obeying the rules. I was behaving badly as a pedestrian.
And listeners, as we talk about Sam Schwartz's traffic plan for bikes and pedestrians, which we'll focus on today, that aspect of it, as well as cars and trucks, we want to open up the phones for your constructive suggestions on what would lower the animosity on the road between the four-wheeled, two-wheeled, and two-legged New Yorkers. If you have an experience in one of these glorified European cities where everyone theoretically shares the road harmoniously, tell us what you think their secret is. 212-433-WNYC. Is it timed traffic lights? Is it sharing the road driving lessons? 212-433-9690. We'll skip the calls today on how bikers are the worst, or drivers are the worst, or even pedestrians are totally in the wrong. We did that earlier in the week, and we'll do it again. But right now, constructive ideas for solutions, 212-433-9692. So tell us about your proposal, your grand plan, and where bicycles and pedestrians come in.
Well, a very important part of the plan is the emphasis on bikes and pedestrians, and also on the growth of population that we have. And the growth of population is largely along the waterfront, within 3 to 5 miles of the waterfront. If you see a young New Yorker, ask them where they live, and it will always be somewhere along Williamsburg, Greenpoint, Hunters Point, Long Island City, Park Slope. All those areas are easily accessible to the waterfront. I propose 3 bicycle pedestrian bridges going to Manhattan's Central Business District. The last time we built a bridge to Manhattan was the Manhattan Bridge, 1909. It's time we built some more bridges, but exclusively for bike riders and pedestrians.
Wow. Where would they be?
Well, one bridge would be probably in the Red Hook area, fly over Governor's Island with a stopover in Governor's Island, and then touch down probably at the terminus of the FDR Drive. Plenty of room there. I would take 2 lanes of the FDR Drive. Remember, these are narrow ribbon bridges. The second, a Triborough Bridge, going from Greenpoint, lots of young people living there and right next door in Williamsburg, to Hunters Point. Tons of people are now moving into Long Island City and go right into Midtown. And a third, let's not forget Jersey. We've got Hoboken, which looks like Brooklyn West. I know they don't like that term, but Hoboken, Jersey City, right into Midtown Manhattan.
How about that? Nice name for a bridge, by the way, Triborough.
Yes.
It might catch on.
It may be available now.
And you've said before that these bridges would be pretty inexpensive to build, about $250 million, which is cheap in bridge-building terms. Why such a small price tag?
Because of the width of the bridges. Remember, Brian, I used to be in charge of New York City's bridges. And these bridges are not the widths that you think of when you see a bridge. They're 16 feet wide, maybe 20 feet wide, ribbon bridges. And that saves on the cost tremendously. And I've costed it out with bridge engineer colleagues. And we could do it for about the cost of the High Line, which in this case, you'll be able to go somewhere.
Now, listeners, you might want to see the lovely rendering of what the pedestrian and bicyclist bridge going from downtown Brooklyn to Governor's Island and the Financial District might look like. I would imagine that these bridges would be pretty high off the water to allow boat traffic up the East River. But this is in the PowerPoint that we have of Sam Schwartz's proposal at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr's show. But that would be a pretty steep walk to work, wouldn't it?
It's the kind of walk that people are doing right now on the Brooklyn Bridge. The Brooklyn Bridge takes you 135 feet over the water. So does the Manhattan Bridge that people walk. So it's not a walk that's uncommon to people.
How would these bridges, even if they were to come to pass, affect the basic dynamic on the streets in Manhattan? Because I'm not sure the bridges are where people have a problem right now. If bicyclists and drivers aren't getting along, and pedestrians too, it's more likely to happen on the streets of Manhattan or Brooklyn or elsewhere.
Yeah, more likely on the streets. But if you go to the Brooklyn Bridge, and you'll see plenty of altercations that are occurring right now between bike riders and the pedestrians. Yeah, we need to restart. And what I say in my plan, I erase all the old plans. We need to restart the way we think about bicycle transportation in New York City. The rules are that govern bike riders are the same rules that govern car drivers. They shouldn't be the same rules. There should be different sets of
shouldn't
rules.
Shouldn't be the same
should
rules.
Should not be the same rules. And make it easier to enforce. And maybe bike riders that participate, maybe they're allowed to make a right turn on red after a stop. Maybe I would never allow them to go the wrong way or ride on sidewalks. But they shouldn't face $200 penalties for making a right turn on a red light.
Like a driver would.
Exactly like a driver would. And that doesn't make any sense.
Alan in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Sam. By the way, this is a great, he is a great man. He's helped us a lot at the AIA, specifically with New York New Visions over the years. But
that's
the
American Institute of Architects, right?
Excuse me?
AIA, American Institute of Architects.
That's right. One of the things that occurs to me is that unlike cities like Copenhagen and other Scandinavian cities who adopted bike lanes many years ago, in New York we don't have discrete traffic lights for bike lanes. And really, bikers have not learned specific rules of the road for their transportation. I think if we start to introduce that over the next few years, culturally, we may catch up with places like Copenhagen.
Thank you very much. And the city is about to introduce a bike sharing program that's going to put hundreds of additional bicycles on the streets of Manhattan. And along with that, the city is launching a campaign to promote good biking practices called Don't Be a Jerk. Nice name, right? Don't Be a Jerk. This is the Bike Etiquette Program and includes short videos of celebrities like Mario Batali and John Leguizamo demonstrating the jerky way to ride your bike, like riding on the sidewalk, yelling at pedestrians to get out of the way, riding the wrong way on a bike path, and then the right way to do some of those things. There's also a separate Polite Rider initiative right now from the bicycle advocacy group Transportation Alternatives to have bicycle ambassadors and a biking rules project to have cyclists lead the way to have safer streets. It's a polite riding initiative. Can either of these initiatives, the city one or the bicyclists one, work?
Yeah, I think they're going to help. They're not going to hurt. I don't think they're going to solve the problem because I don't think they're going to reach some of the hardcore violators. And they come in a group. A lot of people blame the delivery people. As an ex-delivery boy, yeah, we went through every single light and went the wrong way, and that continues today. But you also have the hardcore hipster cyclist that is barreling right through traffic signals, and how are we going to reach those people? Peer pressure, may be helpful in that case.
Timothy in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Gridlock. Sam Schwartz, hello.
Hey, Sam, great show. Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead.
I've been riding in Manhattan for 20 years since I immigrated there from New Jersey. And I used to love the culture of it even before they had the rails or the path down the river. But I've noticed something, especially in the past 3 years, and that is that delivery guys have completely lost any concept of a rule of the road. And I work in restoration. I work in construction, and we have OSHA standards that are standards of safety. Why aren't they going after the employers to teach these guys to ride correctly in traffic? I mean, they're a hazard. And also, there's these electric bicycles now that come up to speed that are going against the grain of traffic. And when I'm walking my 11-year-old across the street, I fear for her life.
Thank you. I agree. Those are really dangerous. They're dangerous on the bike paths, too, because people on ordinary non-motorized bicycles don't perceive them coming up, you know, coming up behind them or coming up toward them in the right way.
I agree. We've got to stamp out these electric bikes right away. It's, you know, forces, you have momentum, mass times velocity. That's a really serious accident waiting to happen.
Scott from Ramsey asks you on our website, how do you think adding tolls for bicyclists will change their travel behavior? Would the bicycle tolls be significant enough to reduce traffic to Manhattan and create significant economic growth in the outer boroughs? And remind me, were you proposing tolls on your bike and pedestrian bridges?
Yes, I was proposing bike tolls, no pedestrian tolls, but a bike toll of 50 cents. And one of the reasons is back in the 1970s when I became a commissioner for the city of New York, every bike lane across the East River was in a state of disrepair. There were no bike lanes on the Manhattan Bridge or pedestrian ways. Queensboro Bridge had no pedestrian or bike ways. The Brooklyn Bridge was in a state of disrepair. And forget about the Williamsburg Bridge. No dedicated funding source. So I want to create a dedicated funding source to maintain the bikeways, and also it legitimizes them in the transportation system.
By the way, you seem to put bikes and pedestrians in the same category. As you look at the overview of your plan, you have cars, you have trucks, and you have pedestrians and bikes. And the NYPD and the city government in general, and I think pedestrians, certainly perceive that they are different and that, you know, that bicycles should be considered maybe not in the same category as cars, but still they are moving vehicles which are hazardous to pedestrians and need to follow the rules of the road rather than the rules of the sidewalk. And so what about that grouping?
Yeah, I wouldn't group them together, and it's the pedestrian bike bridge that looks like I'm grouping them together. I'm not charging the pedestrians. The number one form of transportation in New York City, short distance transportation, is walking, and I want to keep it that way.
Nick in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I love the idea of having bridges across the East River, and I actually had a thought for bicycle superhighways, and they would be elevated and enclosed tunnels with a wind turbine behind them, and of course they would have solar panels to, you know, drive the whole thing, and the wind turbine would help propel you forward, and there would be exit ramps and so on and so forth. So maybe in the future you can incorporate that into the bridges. I wanted to comment to say that Kent Avenue in Brooklyn is a prime example of how you can integrate cars, bicycles, and pedestrians, because to get from, you know, I ride to Queens every morning, and to get to Queens, to get to the Queensboro Bridge, and also when you ride down to Flushing into downtown Brooklyn, it's a seamless way to go, and it's very safe, and I, like, rarely experience problems with pedestrians walking in the bike lane and cars being in the bike lane. You know, it just, it seems to work, and it works well.
Thank you. It's a really good example. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and, you know, Kent Avenue just doesn't have the same pedestrian density that we see in Midtown Manhattan, but, yeah, it's a great bike lane.
Allison on our Facebook page comes clean. As a cyclist, she writes, I've been guilty of flagrant traffic violations. It's just too easy, and there's a surprising arrogance that comes with the knowledge that you are moving yourself under your own steam and the superior agility over the cars and pedestrians. Patty in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Patty.
Hi. I've ridden my bike since the early 80s, way before it was Vogue, and a lot of experience with what's happening on the streets. But there's a difference in Europe, and education is a crucial. You're respected for riding the bike. You are not respected. It's not considered an honor to ride a bike and not waste gas, etc. There's a very big difference in the way people... You can ride in Paris, and there's women with their high heels on whizzing by you. Cars are whizzing by you, but you don't feel the animosity. You don't feel like somebody would really rather hit you.
Patty, I'm going to leave it there because we're almost out of time, but thank you very much. And I think that does sum up a lot of the difference between New York and some of the European cities. So, Sam, in our last minute, I guess the question for you as a traffic engineer is, can you engineer your way to cultural change?
I believe you can. And I think if we were on this program, and I hope you invite me in 2020, we'll talk about how well things are moving with the bikes, the pedestrians, and the other forms of transportation.
All right. Anybody paying attention to your plan so far? Any reaction from Mayor Bloomberg or anybody?
Well, there's been quite a bit of reaction, and a number of elected officials have now reached out to me. And in the next few weeks, I'm having meetings with elected officials. And also I heard from some of the opponents as well.
And this is only the second of four conversations that we are having about Sam Schwartz's grand redesign for the streets of New York, at least his proposal as he tries to get attention for it. He'll be back next Thursday and the Thursday after that. Thank you so much, Sam Schwartz.
You're quite welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.